I really, really appreciate this opportunity to be here tonight. The Lord has opened the doors for not only me, but my wife too. Last year I came by myself, and that's never much fun. We're a good team. And so that's good that we're here. God opens those doors and no man can shut them. We will be looking at a video in a little bit. And if you need to leave because it goes too long, I understand. We're not charging anything for tickets. So, and you can always get the video later and watch it. It's kind of hard to do the video because it's just some things that we put together at the last minute. And hopefully we will get to that soon. You know, I love coming here. That's where I was immersed in that tank. Most of you know that. And so this place is my spiritual birthplace. And so it's awesome for me to come here. I won't call it a pilgrimage, but the only time I felt this excited, you know, in the past would be when I went to my grandpa's farm back in Ohio. And, you know, all my life I grew up traveling around because my father's a missionary, and very few places on this earth had any permanent significance to me. But Bozeman's a special spiritual home for me, and anytime I get to come here, I'm very, very grateful to God. I bring you greetings from India because we came from India to New Jersey, 22 hours in a plane. Air India, as Brittany would have said, it was ghetto, but we survived it. I'll tell you a story some other time what happened. I got thrown off the plane. Being a big guy, you scare people, especially little ladies. Now you want to know the story, but not now. Just tell you what, you don't mess around on airplanes after 9/11, though, or you will be, you know, ejected. But we made it, and despite Satan's little tactics, and landed in Seattle, and drove over here from Seattle, and got in today. Apostle Paul was a man who did mission work, and I like to point this out in Acts 15, when he came back from his first missionary journey. He shared in detail, that's Acts 15:3. The conversion of the Gentiles, and we're bringing great joy to all the brethren. And then again in verse 4, it says that when they arrived at Jerusalem, they were received by the church, that's everybody, I guess, mainly, and the apostles and the elders, and they reported all, that's all, that God had done with them. So there's a lot of things to share with you tonight that I think should bring you some joy. Things that God has done. And I'd like to predicate everything else tonight with the statement that God is the one who's doing anything worth doing through His Spirit, through prayer. And, you know, I would not claim an iota of the glory that belongs completely to our God. At the same time, I can't come up here and say, I'm just a nobody and nothing's happening and good night. I mean, that would be a fake humility if there ever was one. But it hasn't been an easy year since I saw you last time. They're never easy years for anybody doing anything, but it's been a good year in many ways. My wife would say, if she's up here, it's the hardest year of her life. One of the reasons we're back is her knees have given out. After years of standing on concrete, going up and down steps at the school, and genetically too, probably, she has the knees of a 65-year-old. Now, if you're 65 and over and your knees are good, don't take offense. I was in a therapy room with her, working out with 70-year-old ladies. It's free. And they're saying, wow, look at that dumbbell you have, you know. Is that a heavy one for you? Like, yeah, it's pretty heavy. But I just said to one of the therapists, I said, yeah, my wife's x-rays show she has the knees of a 65-year-old. And I looked around. I didn't want to be offensive. I said, but that's not so bad. Whatever that means. But she does, and bones rubbing on bones. She had an arthroscopy in India. And, you know, God's a great God because arthroscopy treatment for her in India was $450 for a knee. And in the States, it's probably been about $2,000 or $3,000. So God takes care of us one way or the other. Now we have insurance that will start kicking in. So pray for her. You know, I know you have knees. Probably, how many of you have had knee surgery or going to have knee surgery? You know, well, it's a great blessing, really. Did I see you raise your hand? Oh, my goodness. See, all those contact sports. They didn't tell us when I was young. So pray for her. We'll go back to Greenville after a couple weeks and see the doctor and make a final decision. She's got some bionic brace on that costs as much as a car used to cost. And just kidding. Well, way back. But it's supposed to separate her bones, and it's painful, but she's still smiling. So, you know, we thank God that we can be here to get that treatment and be here for family camp and give you a report in detail all that the Lord has been doing in Ghana. Well, not quite. But some of the highlights, we hope. And it's at the end of it, the glory goes to God. Remember that. And hopefully you'll be encouraged and edified. The way I see it, we have two things to do on earth. Seek and save the lost and edify the saints. That's it. We've done that. We're done. Everything else is totally secondary. Okay, I'm going to give you a little timeline. But before I do that, I got some props here. So you remember. Does this work? This looks like a real one. Button in the front. All right. Did I get to keep this, Les? Where's that? He's not here tonight. Okay, I got a shovel. All right. The shirt doesn't look too authentic Montana miner, does it? But, you know, use your imagination. So, we're in Ghana, and we're going to do a couple interactive things for a minute. We're going to pick on some of you. Some of you smart ones. Seriously. Maybe even Mr. Wilson back there. But, you know, mission work is like mining. Evangelism's mining. And in Ghana, we are called the Gold Coast. We have a lot of gold there. Newmont Mine from Denver, Colorado area has invested $600 million in a mine where Sharon and I used to live in the jungles of Brongahafo. Near where we have a new school started 2 years ago, or 3 years now, 2 years. And, you know, if I'd only known that all those walks we were taking, I might have taken a shovel with me. You know, fairly strong, and I can dig a good hole, and we might not need any support by now. But there's a lot of gold in Ghana, and the first settlers that came there and built slave castles to take slaves out also looked for the gold dust first. But we're not there looking, of course, for gold. We're looking for souls. We're trolling for souls, so to speak. And you got to put your bait out, and you catch them from time to time. We're mining, too. And I like to use the idea of mining because it's just hard work. How many of you ever mined? Okay, hard work. And you never know, do you, really, what's going to happen. It's like fishing. You might find a great vein and become a millionaire. You might find nothing. But it's just, you got to go for it. And so we're in Ghana mining for souls. And it's a work of endurance. But, you know, when you find one soul, well, this is what every miner dreams about. Trust Les Larson, his crew. You know, I'm thinking a little. It's got to be big. It's Montana, right? That's great. If it was real gold, though, I would probably be doing this. It's not real gold? This is going back to Ghana. If it is, what, $800 an ounce? Turn the light off. There we go. Someone will appreciate that. So we're mining. And, you know, excuse the props, but there's kids here, right? And they'll remember that. And you just have to keep digging. And looking and digging. And this year, for example, we didn't have anybody getting immersed. A couple months, I was getting kind of antsy. And 1 week, we had three get immersed. It's like, oh, good. You know. And then you might have that happen. And then you go for a while later. And sometimes, though, you dig up something else. It's called fool's gold. Not everybody that we immerse stays with it. And one of the heartbreaking things of being an evangelist is you look at people and you work with them and then they drop off. And we've had some of that happen this year. And it's heartbreaking because you love them, but you trust God more than your feelings. You know God is in charge. And people are making choices. And in the end, we will glorify our God because nobody's going to be in heaven that he shouldn't be there. Nobody's going to be in heaven. Everybody in heaven should be there. I'll say it that way. Positive. Right. It's not jet lag. I've been here a couple weeks. It's just me. Now, let's go to my notes for a minute. I want to give you a timeline, because sometimes I assume too much, like that people read my reports. Excuse me, but they don't always read my reports. So, But they are sent out every month, and you can read them. But I want to go over a little of a timeline, just real quickly. I was born on July 18th of 1960. Born in Cleveland, Ohio. That's here for Ohio. Anybody? Yeah. Someone called it the land of worthless nuts. I don't know if I like that, even if it's true. But I was born in Ohio. My father, Richard Hostetter, was a Church of Christ preacher. And he and my mother, Nancy, went to Kentucky Christian College. Looking at my father's biographical information, he was pretty dedicated. Started two churches in Ohio. With some sacrifice to himself. Was a pretty zealous guy. And in 1965, he got to go to Zimbabwe, which was Rhodesia then. And that was my first going to Africa. I was 5 years old. And one of my early memories is a big set of cards that my grandpa gave me to take with me for my birthday, because I turned six in a few days or weeks after I got to Africa. I remember saying goodbye to grandparents, and I remember a lot of things from that time. So in 1965 to 1976, I was in Africa as a missionary kid. My father worked for 18 months in Zimbabwe, then went to Ghana. And I, therefore, went to school in Ghana until I was 16. My father established a Bible college there. The idea was to train local men to be preachers. Unfortunately, they didn't start congregations in Ghana. They worked with existing groups that were doctrinally not solid at all. I mean, I'm talking about way off, all over the place. And the idea was they'd take those guys in and maybe train them to go back and influence their churches. Good in theory, didn't work too good in practice. A lot of the men that came to the Bible college wanted tickets to America or just wanted to become pastors or leaders for other reasons. But that's how I grew up, in an international school. I went to school with Chinese, Indians, Africans, Americans, French, all kinds of people. And God was doing something with that in my life, giving me a picture. 1976, my father went back to North Carolina to be a professor in what had been a black Bible college, Winston-Salem Bible College. It used to be where only black Americans went back in the old days. It had integrated by the time my dad got there, but 85%, 90% of students were from Antigua or Jamaica or black Americans. So I went to high school in North Carolina for 2 years, learned American culture. But I never changed my desire to go back to the country of Ghana. I had a special friend, Kwame Hammer, Afakule, to Christ when I was about 14. He's still faithful. He's in Togo and working there and has a congregation of about 200. And we're starting our first Christian school there this fall with Amy and Bruno, praise God. That's a long time thing. It starts back when I was about 15 or 14. And I praise God for that. That gives me joy. I went then from high school in North Carolina to Johnson Bible College. Some of you might have heard of that in Tennessee. It's the first Christian Church of Christ instrumental Bible college ever. 1890 it was started by a guy who wanted to provide mission preachers for the mountains of the Appalachian Mountains, so poor boys could learn to preach. It was a good idea at the time. I went from there to RBC, Roanoke Bible College, in the east coast of North Carolina, and that's where I met my wife, Sherry. And during that time, I did a prison ministry. Went out to the prison by bicycle, often 15 miles or so, and immersed 17 prisoners as the leader of that ministry my last year. Usually in a tank that we had cut off about 10 feet long in the back of a pickup truck that I drove out there and filled with water from a faucet, no heat. And we baptized guys in February. And even North Carolina in February can get kind of cold. So that was a great experience for me. And my wife and I had Jessica, our firstborn, in 1982 in February. And in 1983, we went to Ghana. We went to language school in the mountains, a place called Abitifi, top of the mountain, is the name. And there I started to learn to speak the tree language, which I've talked about before, but that was a challenge. And you make embarrassing gaffes, like, well, you can imagine. No time for that. So after learning the language and learning more about the culture, we went up to Sinyani, which is a regional capital in the region of Brongahafel, land of tall timber, rainforest, and mountains. Not mountains like your mountains, but I'd say hills, big hills. And there we started our home, took Rebecca, our second born, with us there because she's born in Ghana, and started our work the best we knew how. I started a PEP program, practical evangelism program, idea, and I can't find my document, but I'd written a 10-page paper, and in it, God had given me some insight. It was 2 Timothy 2, verse 2, and my concept was to find men that I could train, African men, and they could go out and be evangelists. I didn't know what I was doing, but it's a good idea. And so for about 9 years, I ran that program. I just found guys through the weightlifting ministry that I started, on the street almost, I mean, wherever. And I'd immerse them if they need to be immersed. And I'd say, why don't you go back and preach the gospel? And I gave money out more than I should have. You know, I thought if they're willing to preach, I'll give them $100. And I'm still paying for that to some degree. Praise God that I've learned. But it was a good concept in some ways. We started about 25 congregations in those years throughout the country. I always thought countrywide, not one area. And tried to work the whole country and even beyond that to Togo. And so Sherry and I learned a lot. We yearned a lot. I wanted to be a holy man too. I believed the dwelling of the Holy Spirit was paramount. Read Don DeWeld's books and was very convicted by those books. And so, long story short, I met Jay when I went to Grundy in 95 or 94. And made a big difference because I got the New Creation booklet. And Jay invited me out here while this church was having some problems even. And Cliff Renner was instrumental in me coming also because he actually told a group of men that he wanted me to be here. Because some said, we don't have time for that right now. So Cliff, always thank God for that. And Jay took me around on his tour. We went, he and others, I guess about 3,000 miles in a week. And I saw the school, and that was huge. And I knew that's what we needed. Then I got immersed a couple years after that, 97, right there, by Brother Jay. That was a huge thing. And really, my ministry started in 97 from then, because we started the school in 96. A Baedeker came to start the school, kind of bailed out and left it in our hands, probably for the best, to be honest. And so we started with 40 kids. It was really a spin-off of my wife's work, because she'd been homeschooling Jessica, Rebecca, and Jeremiah for years and done a great job. I just got to brag for a minute, but Jeremiah, we just talked to him on the telephone this morning. Out of 2,300 students in his social studies department in the University of Science and Technology in Kumasi, we just found out he came first. That's credit to our school and to him and to the Lord. And he wanted to do it to say that Christian education works, even academically. He had a purpose behind that. He also wanted to glorify God in that, you know, because they know he's a Christian on campus. And recently there's a conversation, I got to share this too, and some guys are walking along, and one of our men, a Ghanaian called Gordon, was behind them, and he heard them saying, you know, the foreign students aren't any good. Yeah, yeah, they're no good. They're not respectful and this and that, you know. And then one said, yeah, but there's one guy, tall guy. He's a good. Another one said, yeah, yeah, his name's Jeremiah. So then Gordon's like, all ears, you know. And then the other said, yeah, he's a very nice guy. He's a good guy. So I just praise God he's being a good example on campus. It's a big university. They have 13,000 students. They're going to 21,000. They have 5 colleges. So he's at the top of his college on that university campus. Anyhow, praise the Lord for that. And he's going to be a great leader. He just went to India with us. Oh, I got off point here, though. So, yeah, we had the school started with Sherry's work, the kids. And we had Abby. Some of you met her. A girl who was crippled by TB, our first African girl we took into our home. And she's now 25, went to India to help the work with the Thomases for three months, and the Indian government deported her. Weird. But she's was our first child we took in, around 90. Oh, it's been a while. Where is it? I wrote this down somewhere, but I can't find where I wrote it. 94, we took her in. So we had her, and then we had Stephen Jantua. And This is the difference Christian education's made. Stephen Joshua finished with a high school diploma, went on to get his degree in computer science, and went and got a job. He's in the capital of Accra with his wife, and they're serving the Lord faithfully. Tremendous man, spiritual man. Brother Jay gave him a test some years ago. And I said, give it to him, you know. And I think he got everyone right. So he's a special guy. So our Christian education started then. And we've continued it now for 12 years. They started school in our absence. Jessica and her husband Atta, who's a Ghanaian. And Jeremiah helps, but he's also still going to university. And Brittany help. And then we have Ghanaian students that are now graduates who are helping. We also have Rachel from Spokane. My wife says I sound like a hick when I said it. Spokane, okay. Spokane. And she's a volunteer there. We've got Alyssa, who just married George, my son-in-law's brother there. Got pretty good staff, and I think you see them on the video and there's pictures up there. So they're running the school without us. And this is the 13th year of BCA running. And there's several other schools been started. It's about the same time we got started. Brother Eisnagel and his wife started the school in Sinyani, and it's running. Have they started yet? They'll be starting in a week or two probably. So that's exciting. Christian education got going. Like I said, we've had African children in our home. Abby, 94. Rosalind and Jefferson were Liberia, 99 to 2004. Alima, 2004, who's Abby's sister, Muslim. Jackson, 2005. Now we have Keziah Moore, who's from Helena, staying with us. And Caleb Wilson, who looks like Wilson's son. He's got the ears. I think he's same eye color, short-sighted, left-handed. Not vertically challenged a bit. But a great guy and smart. And he is. And he's... So we've got, someone said, you must be having the empty nest syndrome. It's like, yeah, right, four teenagers in the house from very diverse backgrounds. It's awesome. It really is. So that's kind of a timeline. Things are going pretty great over there. We did have the government check on us. Our school in Atia, where Godwin and Gloria are working, was checked out by the government because of someone's report. Actually, KK's brother was causing trouble. And they came there, the GES, Ghana Educational Service, and they said, you can't run this school, you don't have a license, blah, blah, blah. And it was pretty high pressure in March. And same time, a guy came from the government to me, and he said, I've been told that you're running a school illegally in this country. Now, that's a time when you think about all those stories in 1st and 2nd Chronicles of when the kings were surrounded, and they had a choice, compromise, capitulate, or stand. And I can tell you, brethren, the Lord has been with us because we're going in our 13th year of school and the government has left us alone. I smooth-talked that guy. I did. I'm not ashamed to tell you that. I had my spiel ready. I had prepared beforehand what to say. I said it with conviction. I had that guy wrapped around my little finger. He left and said, you're doing the work of God. I gave him some papers and stuff, and he's out the door, and he's never come back since. But I give glory to God, remember. He gave me that smooth-talking ability. Because years past, I would have got all hands clammy, you know, and all that stuff. I was calm as a cucumber because the Holy Spirit's working in your life. And you can do anything you need to do. So praise the Lord. Because, you know, if government wanted to, they could give us more trouble than we want to have. Not that we're illegal. We're not. We're just not licensed. And you don't have to be licensed because they've never got around to making a law that you have to be. They just think you have to be. One day they'll make the law, and then we'll probably have to work harder. Let's start the video. That's enough. And I do want to have time for some questions. Any questions right now as we're getting the video started? There's a lot of people here tonight. Wow. Y'all came just for me, didn't you? No. Any questions? Big question is, will our video work? Oh, yeah, I was going to pick on you guys. I still haven't done that. All right. He's got a good sport. Gary, would you come up here? He's a smart guy. I know he's a smart guy, see? He's been to Gonis. I know he's a good sport, too. Now, I'd like you to do something for me. I really want you to try hard. I want you to read this chapter just like it is. Yes. Oh, even better. There's no glasses in Ghana. Come on, people can't afford glasses. This is really good.
This way?
Yes.
This way.
No glasses. The next guy can have glasses. It's big print. Come on.
Gentle answer. I can't read it.
You're doing good. You did fine.
Gentle answer. Trust always. Trust always. Was that water? That's under the right hand?
Mm-mm. No, I'd be cheating.
But I can tell my glasses are really nice. But a something world stirs up.
All right, now turn it the other way around and read it.
Gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger.
Who else would like to try to read it? Let's pick on someone younger. Young. There's young people are sharp. Any volunteer? Young guy about 10 or younger. All right, come on up. I've been to your house, so this is okay. We'll have to get another chapter, okay? All right. You can start right here where the chapter starts. You're getting it. Excuse me. That's even better. He gets them back for a price. We have ways of getting money for the mission work. All right. Thank you very much. Now, turn it the other way. And you can have your glasses, too. There you go.
There you go.
All right. This chapter right here. Relax, you can do it.
Throne and the earth is my footstool. There.
Good job. Okay, you did much better the other way, didn't you?
Yeah.
You can't have the Bible, though. Now, the way to read the Bible upside down is like most Ghanaians. Right, Brother Steve? The average Ghanaian reading their own tree Bibles, that's about how it goes, it doesn't. About that slow, that bad. You go to a village, even people can read their own Bible in their own language, really can't read it. And if they can read it, they don't know what it's saying because they can't comprehend what they've just said. Now, I just got to do this. Brother Jay, will you come up here and do it too? Because this is really important, you know. No glasses, sir. But you do get the big print Bible. That's kind of actually not fair to have the big print Bible. But let's see. The thing is, he's memorized all the Bible, so we got to pick one. This will do. This chapter.
Then Jehoshaphat, I can see it. Then Jehoshaphat slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David.
Good job. Still, though, not your usual professional work. Now, that's, you know, he's probably the best guy when it comes to Bible here. He's been reading it a long time and very familiar with it. But he still had to work some. So, what we have to do in mission work in places like Africa is teach them to read. Nothing else is going to happen until then. We're at a standstill. You can go in a village and do oral talking, and we have another game here, okay? I need about 10 volunteers to come up here. People aren't shy. As quickly as you can. Like I said, we can watch the video later, and I'll give you a copy for $99.99. That's three. I love this game. Now, I need a pen and a paper. I think I've got paper here. And my pen's here. Okay, you're going to read this. I'll give you, just read it, and then you pass the message on. We'll see how the message is at the end. Don't read it out loud. Okay. If it gets to the fourth man and makes any sense, I'll give money to somebody. No, that ruined everything. I'll be a nice guy. I'll start from this side. It won't make any difference, though. Okay. We'll start from here. You get to read it one time, and then you got to pass it on.
You want your glass?
All right. He shook his head like, "I got it." All right. Now, this is just to illustrate how important it is to be able to read and pass on the information from generation to generation that needs to be passed on. It's not that short. You mean, this is really important. Somebody's going to be hurt if they don't get this right. If you were in the CIA, you'd have to, memorize and eat it. It's getting really short. Okay, wait a minute. You're the last guy. Don't mess it up. No pressure. Forgot it.
Message to me is Joshua will arrive at 7:30.
Okay. Joshua Young, that's pretty good actually. Joshua Young will arrive on flight number 2730 at 1 p.m. Saturday 15th in a small jet. Thank you guys. Joshua Young is never going to be picked up. He's in trouble. Again, working in Africa, you can go in there and preach and everything, but if they can't read their own Bible with comprehension, nothing's going to happen. So most of the mission work in Africa has been a waste. Because a man's faith is based on what the preacher says, it's not really faith. It's blind trust in a man, not trust in God's Word. So again, that's how important it is to fund, to volunteer, to help, to be involved in Christian education worldwide. Because it's the only way for them to get real faith, to know what God's telling them, to change their lives. And for my money, it's worth the money, 70 cents a day, to sponsor an African kid to get it. That's what it costs. It's not time to retrench or retreat. We can do this. We can do this. I know there's some tough times financially, but I haven't seen our restaurant's empty yet. We can do this. 70 cents. Scholarship for an African kid to learn to read. So that's an appeal to you to keep up, you know, keep your interest in this and keep supporting this. Let's run it. And we can do some fast-forwarding probably. Some time ago, a guy told me that he asked me if I really worked hard in Africa because he saw some of these frogs and stuff and had too much fun. So, if you think that, well, I'll give you a malaria parasite later on. You've had that for a few
Maggie,
weeks.
What
and we'll
are
talk
you doing?
About having fun.
I'm so
fufu. This is fufu.
Yes.
Made from the roots of the plantain and the cassava. And that woman's pretty brave. How about brave? One time I went to see crocodiles, and yes, they will eat you if they catch you. And one wanted me very badly. He never saw such a big piece of meat. You'll see him in a minute.
Here we have very dangerous species of crocodile. Watch your right, mate. We're coming over there, Brian. Brian, watch your right.
That's my son, the clown.
These crocodiles there,
Steve Irwin,
pretty tame. This guy's actually going to grab his tail probably and hold
they
on to it.
They actually worship these. They believe their ancestors' spirit live in them. Africa is full of witchcraft, juju, fear, superstition. The myth of the happy native who kind of wanders around the jungle picking apples, not apples, bananas, and is at peace with himself. This is rated PG-13. That crocodile wanted me really bad. They told me to get out of his way. I figured he's on land, he wasn't dangerous, but they said he moves really fast. Okay, let's turn it down.
Here we are.
All around us in Africa are people who make about $1 a day.
It's not hurting to take a picture, Jemma. At all. We already paid a chunk of money to come in their country.
And the thing that will, you know, those are the skinniest cows you've ever seen. And these are people taking transportation to Burkina Faso, the country north of us. Have you been that desperate for a ride? The Ghanaians even laughed at that one. That's amazing. But life is cheap in the third world. And money is hard to come by. This was a neighborhood that Jeremiah and Brittany were thinking of living in. Nice burrow there. Islam is making inroads in Africa because they have plenty of children. They do trade and they live among the people. And they have not been aloof from the people. And so Islam is part of Africa. About one third of Ghanaians are Muslim. And so it's a great threat to Christianity. Wherever Islam becomes a majority, it persecutes Christianity. Inevitably. So we are in a competition for souls. Muhammad in 600 plus AD started what I believe is a tremendous counterfeit religion to blind millions of people. Today they think there might be up to 1 billion Muslims in the world. These are men. They repress their women terribly, and that is actually our advantage because of the way they treat them, where there's an opportunity sometimes for women. Long for some freedom. So that's the best part of the town. We're leaving town, many people on bicycles. All around us are the Francophone countries where they speak French. Laura Swift and Gifty Asebra, my son-in-law's sister, have been teaching French to our students. Our plan is to have them able to go to the surrounding countries of Cote d'Ivoire, Burkina Faso, Togo, and actually evangelize. At least use the national language of French. Then they have to learn another language, perhaps. So these countries have great need, and I don't see a way to evangelize them except Africans. Most of the living conditions are incredible. We were there in the coolest time of the year, and it was in the 90s every day. Smell of urine and filth. It was incredible. We were in a fairly decent hotel, but the neighborhood was one that you would not want to visit on a good day. And you can see that some people are actually carrying 300-pound bags of corn on their mopeds, which, again, is pretty interesting. So, you know, Africa is poor because the people lack the character to overcome. Character is crucial for a nation to thrive. America has become a great nation because of the godly heritage, because of the biblical base, and because people learned how to respect the laws here. You know, little side point. When you land in an airplane in America, and the seatbelt sign has to go off before you stand. Anybody ever been in a plane? In America, almost everybody obeys it. Not in India. Not in Africa. In Africa, the flight attendant saying, sit down, because everybody's up before the plane stops. Because rule of law is not something important in these countries. It's ruled by force. Strong men, like in this country, have ruled since 1985. Military government. Ghana has had some elections. Just a little aside of a pretty good-sized anthill, which is built one mouthful of sand at a time by millions of little ants. What can we do with unity as we work together to build the Lord's church? That's what I always think about.
Come up and check the damage pretty soon.
Little Steve Irwin stuff here. But if you let me talk while the film runs a bit, you know, the people of Africa have a harsh environment. Yes, they have malaria, yellow fever. They have a lot of dry country. And this is the ultimate survivor game here, but it's not a game. You know, these people are on edge. If something goes wrong, they're dead or in serious trouble. There's a 50-mile stretch here with nothing but bush and a few little villages like this. If you break down and you don't have water, you're in trouble. At the end of this road are elephants because there's a game reserve. Now, that's Keziah Moore, by the way, from Helena. Now, a lot of people in this country are very worried about saving elephants. There are lots of elephants, and there are plenty of them in Africa, in Ghana. In this place alone, there's 1,000. And I recognize that animals are made by God, and they're unique and wonderful things. But, you know, we need to be saving the children. That's my focus. Up on my poster here, and I hope you'll look at it after the show's done. But it says, how do you eat an elephant? And it has a picture of an elephant, and it says, one bite at a time. And it says, how do you change a country or culture? And it has one child at a time. You know, that's our focus. This young man's from India. His father is Sabu George, who's made a strong stand for the new creation and got kicked out of his house and his church building where he'd been preaching for years. His son came and stayed with us for a year in our school. And we just went there to see them. They're doing great. They got an assembly up in the home area. So we'll move from the animals now. But, you know, people's concern in the world's misplaced. They don't know the value of a soul. And, you know, these are awesome creatures. But what about a new creature? You know, made in the image of God. I mean, people, you're the only kind of people who should understand where our interest should be. If you don't care about souls, you know, who will? Everybody's going to worry about the animals. They're going to be protected. They're going to thrive because it's important to many people. Okay, sound please. This is our staff meeting. We've shown this before. Actually, our staff keeps changing. So this is Melissa Wigner, dog walker from Laura Swift. We've got a verse up here. Brent Spears from Missouri, engineering student, 4.0. Good volunteers. Another dog walker called Faith to Case. All three of them were immersed into Christ after being involved with our ministry. The two of them were from Willow Creek Church in Chicago, big mega church. And this is Alyssa, who just got married from Missouri. Her parents were real close, just inheriting
my God and me. I'm
very angry because
saved me from all this.
She stayed to do the Lord's work there. Married to George, son of my brother. But the volunteers have come and made a huge difference to our ministers. And I'll let you hear a little bit of singing, and I'll say a few more things. This is the national anthem of Ghana. A little more volume.
Right.
I've run about 50 to 60 students. I've been doing that for 12 years. First year we had about 40. From all kinds of backgrounds, as most of you know. Orphans, some Islamic kids, different tribes, about 6 different tribes. I do the opening assembly on Monday and Wednesday, staff meeting Tuesday and Thursday. Jeremiah does it on Friday for the opening. And I do a lot of teaching through the scripture in the morning. Some of the staff back here. Some of the volunteers. I want to talk about the volunteers again, please. Those girls that came were graduates from college. Brent Sears was actually going to school for 2 years, and he dropped out for a little while to come. And it really makes a huge difference, these volunteers. I think worldwide, the evangelists like me or men like Steve Doty or others need to be out there promoting things worldwide to some degree. Steve Doty's words were he can't afford to be nailed down in a learning center for 8 hours. And that's probably true with what Worldwide Humanitarian Aid is doing and so forth. So how do we run schools in the Philippines or in India? Well, we sent 2 volunteers to India, Abby, who was deported, and then Alyssa went there. God provided the funds. It's amazing. And there's Abby right there. And they went over to help Benoy and Rebecca's new school, which is an extension of our ministry, because they're doing the same school that we have here in Ghana. And I believe, young people, if you would join the Spiritual Peace Corps for Jesus Christ, be on the Jesus team, going for gold medals in Christian service, not in track and field, and you'd give a year of your life to come to be a volunteer in some of these schools, we could start more of them, because the big need they have is speaking English and learning to read, or phonics. And these things take a lot of time. Once the children learn to read English, or once the children, this, the lady there, Melissa, had her 4-year degree from Forest Park, pretty prestigious private school in Chicago. Gave it up for a year, you know, could have made a big salary coming out of there. And so did her friend Faith, who had a degree in physics and came over. I don't have a picture of her here. We're the Bomsu Beacons. My daughter, by the way, has been doing this since she was 16. And she's probably the most skilled supervisor, apart from my wife. And I put her above me. So, volunteers have made a tremendous difference. Because there's this, you call it grunt work. I have a memory of Gloria with a child in a wheelchair, taking her to the bathroom every day because she couldn't go on her own. Some of our wheelchair kids had to be carried up the steps by other students because we don't have anything else. No ramps. You know, teaching someone to read, well, you saw reading, it's like slow, hard work. Teaching them the sounds, like the aging eight and so forth. And the neat thing is when we all run the same school systems worldwide, well, give you an example. We were just at Don and Helen's house in Maryland. They're our 14 agents. And they have a small school there now with 2 students. And Helen's teaching them phonics. And my wife went in there and could immediately begin helping. Because she knows all that. There's an international picture here we need to have that if we'll work pragmatically the same pattern using the AC schools. Brethren, I know other things can work. I know homeschool can work. Sometimes, in some places, that's the only recourse and so forth. But I'm going to pump this idea out over and over that we have an international job to do. The church is not located in one place. It is a worldwide temple of prayer and praise for the glory of our God. And we need to be able to have a seamless fit to be able to interface worldwide. So we use the booklets and we use the AC school system. And so my idea with these volunteers like Brent and Melissa and others is if they come back to states like in Chicago, they can start a school and follow the pattern. And I just hope you understand that. I'm thinking India. I'm thinking of dozens of schools in India, dozens of schools, hundreds of schools in Ghana and West Africa and Africa. And we need to train workers so our students that come out can go there. Now, this is a new school in Brongahafa, where we used to live for 9 years. Brother Omani is now running that. We use a clinic that we built with IDES money, International Disaster Emergency Service money, but the clinic was never operational. So we have a school literally in the jungle near the gold mines. There are massive trucks and new roads being built by the gold mines, but the local people will never benefit from that wealth because they can't read and write. What kind of job will they get? You know, maybe a watchman. Maybe if they're lucky, they'll drive a truck, but you can't even drive a truck at that company if you can't read and write. So we want to get dozens and dozens of these schools started, teach them how to read, write, so then be able to utilize the Bible, become knowledgeable disciples, skilled personal soul winners, each one of them, disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, and be leaders in their country for more work to start. This year in Bogotanga, which is in the far north, we had 11 children, disadvantaged children. Brother Steve Doty's helped to fund feeding them. IDES helped before that. And one of our graduates, Adam, went up there. And he taught them speaking English, learning to read. For the first time, those children up there are holding their own Bible and able to read it. And if they hadn't had that help, they would be lost in ignorance. So we're starting schools nationwide in Ghana using volunteers from America and using our African workers that we're training. And it's exciting. And the Lord will provide the funds and the resources as we have faith. And this is really important. And it's a battle. It's a huge battle. I have learned something. Can we have one light maybe? I'll be up there for a little bit. If it won't ruin that.
Red.
Is there a way to turn on like one light or that? I got it.
As we come out of the village, okay. On the outskirts.
All right, that's too much. Isn't
Christian
it?
School, hope for a tear.
Well, for this whole region. Let's leave the lights off. You know what I look like. Just please don't nap you guys in the back. And listen, this is another school that we started. Let's have the sound for this, and I'll let myself explain it for a minute.
They're married together, Godwin and Gloria,
give
working with
break.
The school,
a little more
helping
volume.
Brother Willie. To run a top quality Christian school right here in the rural area. We're excited about this ministry. Purchased this land years ago.
Brother Jay's been here
and
twice,
converted it so to the school, and we're also using it for family camp. So that it can be a beacon of hope for these children who come from disproportionately poor background, but deserve the very best.
Every American child spends a year.
She is our new principal, graduate from BCA, and now working for the first time as a principal at the ACA, Atiyah Christian Academy. Special.
I don't know if you got it, but he's one of our graduates.
Time to see the local men stepping up and doing the work of the Lord with great quality.
We have lost 2/3 of our students here because of opposition. Rumors being spread that our
students quiet,
no
doing their paces, working hard. It's Friday, so they don't have their uniforms on.
They're dressed
in their PE clothes.
And was dying of cancer with a big lump in his head. And
he used this building to store our
to be saved. It took about $8,000 to save
materials for family camp, which will come up in December. And about 300 to 400 people come here from all over the country for preaching and fellowship and singing and praying and encouragement. So here's a school building that's half completed, room for many more children, but a school without children is not really a school. Ah, here are the supervisors, but still, where are the children?
Come on, children.
Oh. I know it's a little cheesy, but that's fun.
Ah, now we have a school, because a school without children is out of school. Everybody wave.
Yeah, everybody wave.
How you doing? Good morning. Can you sing one song? What's your favorite song? Do they know this is the day?
Yes.
This is the day. Ready, go.
Yes.
today. And
praise the Lord.
As I said before, God and Gloria both attended our school in Kumasi, and they have volunteered to come out here and been starting a huge ministry to take the second year of this school. Amy and Bruno did the first year. So how's it going the first week? Easier or harder than you thought it'd be? Is it easier or harder than you thought it'd be?
Harder.
It's different than being a supervisor,
yep,
or monitor, mm-hmm, or student, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now we're
sometimes
right down the road here. Is where Gloria and Godwin are living in a rented place. And they're hoping to get maybe a little more room. Because they probably will have another child. Is that what I'm hearing? It's planned. Now we're at their house. They live downstairs here.
By the grace of God, they've been able to get this upstairs house. We're renting it for $160 a month.
This is where the youth camp was held.
For our youth camp, which just finished on Saturday. And they have Godwin's sister, Margaret, who's
they have
raped
a water problem here. So
we have two girls.
They've been getting
raped.
Water for bathing
in our school this
so
year.
Forth,
one last year.
The well.
And when you think about, we have maybe what, 30
which
girls?
Is pretty deep.
And out of that, maybe only 15 that are above 12. That means that 2 out of 12 girls have been raped. It's a high crime area. And it's very sad. They weren't raped at the school. It was outside, and their parents weren't diligent.
Last year, my wife caught a thief here who was breaking in.
So, Godwin's sister has a baby now.
And he ran away.
Jim Brady's been sponsoring.
And then they caught him. And
he helped to rent the house, too.
Put him in jail. Is he still in jail?
The Godwin and Gloria could live there, and the sister could live there, too, Margaret. She's a great girl.
This is the upstairs. There's a lot more room here.
Still in our school.
And they're talking to the owner, who is a... in America, to see about
I just want to make the point that we think we need a lot of things to be happy in America, hopefully, but we really don't.
This is where they're living right now. They have
no air conditioning,
kitchen,
no living room. There's a bedroom, the kitchen.
Power's on today? Or off?
And then they have bathroom in between. No
flush
toilet. They had to carry buckets from the well.
Back here's the hallway.
For cooking, too. They had to get water. Now they have a water
really
thing.
Messy, so.
Water's brought to them by a truck. And then they had their one room there. And they lived down there for over a year. And Amy and
nice
Bruno,
there's only one. And there's
kind
no living room at all.
Room they had.
So we hope something will happen if it's upstairs locked.
So, you know, mission money that comes in is not just helping Sherry and I, but helping these teens that we're training to start new schools.
It's all kind of underdeveloped in a way.
I raise money,
and
I'm no
water.
I'm older. For a bigger thing than just, you know, Sherry and I and our little work there in Kumasi. It's for the family camp. It's for the work in Togo. We're starting a school with this congregation. This is in the country next to Ghana. Small country. With Brother Hammer, my first convert preacher. First convert to Christ from Togo. And we're all volunteers. This girl was dying of TB in a hut some years ago. We were able to save her life. It's a long story, but it took about $12,000 to $15,000 to save her life. She's just had it. She's doing fine. She needs a stem. She's running. A little more money, okay? All these people. Project Fire. She's a great worker. This is a little funny. 50% of the children are under 15 years of age.
What's the purpose? What do we have in common?
Brent was homeschooled in a small house church, Mary Iceland, Missouri. He's now moved to Chicago and probably married Melissa, who is our volunteer. His immersion into Christ was a great victory, but his father was extremely upset because he didn't think it was necessary, because of the child immersion thing. Taking the Lord's Supper. That's Amy and Bruno. Amy came to North Carolina as a volunteer. Stayed there. Married Melissa.
You're working hard.
Yeah.
Good. You're working?
Maybe.
Yes.
Oh.
Good.
She was lying
very
in a
good.
High, big sore on her bottom.
Abby.
Just eating her body out, dying very slowly, just like Abby.
Uziah.
He always has lost.
Good job. Good, good. Keep walking. Good girl. Good, good.
This old lady, Mary, no one knows, she's 100 years old. When she was immersed, there was a riot in the house, really. And Tamara and his team had to flee to the chief's house because the chief were going to kill them. She was all her idols. She's a pretty excited Christian, but she's losing her memory now.
Hallelujah.
She has to kiss everybody. Holy kiss.
Hallelujah.
English and the local language of heaven. That's the Bogotanga, far north. That's Abraham.
Also,
he's a pretty
difficult
to work with sometimes, but we've got a foothold up there to get the gospel.
This is the word of God.
Okay,
in Hebrews
again.
Chapter 4.
So I just want to conclude here, coming near the end, that I've seen that if you won't do Christian education, all these happy dancing kids have no real hope. And it is a battle because we have so much opposition. Just today, I talked to Jessica, and one of our boys is 13. The entire household, including the mother, who's not a Christian, have pressurized him to leave our school. And we've been teaching since he was 7. And they're telling him he has no future in our school. But my son came first in the university. Another of our students, Richard from Atia, where we have the bigger buildings and the family camp, and where God and the glory are at. Richard didn't finish our schooling, and he went to the best IT course offered in Ghana. Where's it? $170 a month. He took his first exam. 10 students out of 20 failed outright. People from the university. Other graduates from other schools. 10 passed it. Richard Sarpong, our student, came first. Stephen Johnson, I've mentioned already, got computer science training at Ashesha University in Accra, run by the CFR for elite people. He came out of that with no brainwashing, and he's got a good job, supports himself, has his own apartment, ties to our congregation, works for the Lord
won a guy to Christ through the university. We have success stories in a worldly sense of students who are doing great. But his parents have been pounding tables and shouting at him because he wants to take his daughter Zoe and run her through our Christian education program. And what I'm seeing is Satan's behind this, brethren. It's really a hatred for perfection, because we're pursuing with our students Christ-like perfection. To be, you know, imitating the character of Jesus, not just to be good church people. And it's exposing the sin out there in people's hearts. And so we're in a battle, because just today I talked to Jessica, the school at where Godwin and Gloria at, the evangelist there wants to run it as an ordinary school and have the AC school move to the Wonders House. He says he needs to do that for certain reasons, and he wrote me a letter. So I got to go back and work on that. But one of our men who's running a Christian school, Stephen Baugh, quit and got a job with the Ghana Educational Service. Very sad to me last year. It takes great faith to do this. And it's not, I can't take the Bible and say, look, I can prove to you, you know, from the Bible right here, just like immersion, that if you don't have a Christian school, you're going to hell. But what I've seen from 12 years of experience plus homeschooling is that we really want to disciple our kids to be like Christ. We will have an extensive discipleship program that starts before they're old enough to be immersed, where they will learn to be Christ-centered like Jesus was when he was in the temple when he's 12 years old. And we'll start that when they're 5 and 3 and 1 in the home. And we'll do it, you know, that's Sherry's teaching Sunday school class. We'll do it with the three strands, the three cords that won't be broken easily. The family, the church, and the school working together. Family, parents, everybody. It's a great battle, not only in Africa, but in India and probably in America. But the results are fantastic. Sound, please. This is our assembly we have in us. Well, brethren, we're in Ghana for the long run. We appreciate your support. This church supports us $1,000 a month. That helps us with our family camp every year, which takes about $3,000 at least, sometimes $4,000 to run family camp. Family camp runs about $300 to $400. So we appreciate that help a lot. We bring in people from all over the country, and it's a great time of preaching, just like the one here. Also, your money you give us helps us with our rent. Our own house is about $600 a month. So we appreciate that a lot. And it's great to have that relationship. If you want more information, we have a website, Gloria in Ghana, and our brother Larry Miller, now at Billings with Karen, his wife, he runs that website, gloriainghana.com. And the pictures are pretty updated on it. We have pictures on there up to March, and some new ones are coming. So you get a lot of pictures of the work, and I've had a lot of people tell me they read it. I have a lot of my lessons on there, too. And my newsletter's on this monthly, but it usually comes a little late. I send a monthly email report if you want it. Just give me your address. Our email address is on here, and so we are connected. We are, what's that word? We are wired, yes. After we check on Sherry's knees back in North Carolina, we'll head back and continue the work we're doing. And we're hoping to take a shipping container. It will cost us, shipping container will be about $3,500 to $4,500 to get it on the high seas. 40-footers, about $4,500. And 20-footers, about $3,700. So we'll probably take a 40-footer because you get more for the money. Once we get it there, we'll have to get it through customs and pay duty. and then ship it up on a truck to Kumasi. So I'm figuring about $10,000 for that. We'll put a lot of stuff in it. I have it on our last report. I took this off the board. So we need money for the shipping container. Then we'll take medical supplies, used furniture, used clothes. Sherry and I we don't have furniture that works, put that way. It's really old and we have a lot of people in the house. So we looked at buying furniture there, but it's expensive. So we might take some furniture from here. It's cheaper. A canned corn, for example, a 12-ounce can of corn that's maybe 90 cents. Well, it's got more here, too, but it's like $2.20 there. A 16-ounce peanut butter is $8 in Ghana. We already have people from the craft company who donate food to us. What we found is when we have a shipping container, people will donate things, wheelchairs, foodstuffs, used clothes, and in the long run, it saves us money. Like paper, we have a warehouser employees that give us stacks of paper. We use a lot of paper in the school, photocopying. We'll take a photocopier, too, if we can, because the one we have is really old and decrepit, and we have it honestly repaired on every week, almost. And we'll probably also take a skill saw, a commercial drill press, because we want to start a carpentry shop so that KK can teach the students how to make their own furniture and make a little income that way. We might take a second-hand vehicle. Right now, we're using a 15-passenger van for everything. All the teams have no vehicles at all. Jessica and her husband, Godwin and his wife, Gloria, Jeremiah, all of them don't have vehicles. So the 15-passenger van is great when we go as a group, but we'd like to get a second, smaller car for trips around town because gasoline is $5.50 a gallon over there. I think it's about $3.80 here. It's a little more expensive. So please pray about that, and if you're interested in helping with the container, it would have to be money that will be given, if it's money, that you wouldn't give for the general fund that you normally give our mission. It has to be completely outside of that. If you want to help, just let me know. So far, no one's offered any money yet, just so you know where we're at. People have offered to give us items. I call this resupplying the troops. Booklets. Right now, on an airplane, you can take a 50-pound suitcase. So, and air shipping things is really expensive. So we haven't sent a container to Ghana for many years, 4 or 5 years. So we're thinking of doing that. So what would happen is in North Carolina, I would get my weightlifting exercise, loading stuff, and Sherry would get her knees fixed. So we're looking for people who are interested in helping us with that. If you want to be a volunteer to Ghana, let me know. If you're up to the caliber, if you've got the zeal and determination to give a year of your life or half a year to Africa, there might be a place for you over there. Hurry quickly. The line is getting long. That was a joke. There are actually people are coming. So we praise God for what's happening. And there is a great God that we serve. And His Spirit gives us a victory. And I could preach to you for a long time, but we're late. So any final question that anybody has? Any question at all about anything? If I don't like it, I won't answer it. Everything clear? All right. Thanks, Jay.
One of the things I hope you get out of that is the importance of duplication. See, one of the things I really appreciate about Jeff, when we had the opportunity to share with him in 1995, you know, here in Montana in April, and then also in August, you know, to have the vision, the Christian school, have the vision of making disciples, using the track to run on. As Steve Eisnagel has been able to share on numerous occasions, these things actually work. See, sometimes, you know, I used to have a sign, I'm still in there, but I had a little plaque made some time ago in the kind of the blue carpet section. It's kind of an outer frame, and inside is a panel, inside is a panel, inside is a panel, inside is a panel. In really small type that you have to get up very close to read, it has these words, "You think too small." I don't know if anybody's ever taken the time to look at that. But the reason that's there, see, is to try to help people, you know, think bigger, to think the vision, see. And so duplication, see, what we do here as a congregation has been able to be duplicated not only in the United States, but internationally. So we're talking Christian schools. We're talking the track to run on. We're talking very important ingredients, see, which when you carry out your part, very, very important things get done. It's just like a spark plug. Spark plug's maybe not very big, but engines don't go very far without them. And see, each of us then can play our part. Also, the financial. I mean, you know, we pray here periodically that God would open the windows of heaven and pour out the blessings, that we'd like to be good stewards of God's financial blessings so that they can be distributed for the spread of the gospel. And see, it's so important because when you're dealing with these third world countries like Ghana or Togo, the resources just aren't there. Now, if our country keeps going the direction it's going, they won't be here either. So it's really important that while we have them, that we use them. See, where they need to be used, and that's to get the gospel out. Again, I know many of you here are very conscious of that, and you have that big picture, and you keep that big picture. And I appreciate it, and together we really want to make it happen.